How's it going? Happy Tuesday. Well, day after Christmas. What the heck? I'm recording this a week in advance, but I am just imagining the feeling I'll have the day after Christmas. I mean, honestly, I'm probably not going to be thinking about Christmas too much because it'll just be a matter of days until my wedding. Oh my gosh, you guys, I am just so excited for the new year. It's so funny. Even though I have this huge life event coming up, Kevin and I are both like, I'm so excited for our goals in 2024. And like, wedding planning gets a little old. So I'm just ready for something new to work on. And I already can't help myself. Like, all my thoughts are pretty much consumed with like, yeah, I get a few tasks done with wedding planning, but otherwise I am hardcore in dreamy mode for what we have coming up for you. I'm so excited for what's ahead for the cult career, what's ahead for a new big announcement that I have coming up, and also some more behind the scenes stuff that I'll be sharing on social media. After a year and a half fast from Instagram, I like to joke with my friends. It's like, yeah, after I thought I was better than everybody else for the last year and a half, like the supreme human being who was not on Instagram and not having all these dopamine spikes, I'm back, baby. And I friggin' love it. And I am ready to take y'all behind the scenes more with what it actually takes to run a business. I think I'm increasingly passionate about, especially as Audrey is doing such an amazing job with helping our traditional job seekers, I've really enjoyed having the ability to grow my competency in helping our entrepreneurial clients and just sharing more of like what's that like, because in 2024, I'm going to be starting my fourth business and I'm just really excited to show y'all more of like, y'all, this is probably more accessible to do than you would think. All to say, blah, 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 if you are similarly in a dreamy, what's ahead for me space, I wanted to give you three things you could do to explore your career options and maybe explore some new options while you're on potentially this Christmas, New Year's break. So that's obviously, if you've seen the title, what this is all about, these three things you could do to explore new career options over the holidays. So how about let's get right in. I'm really excited because I know these are going to help you so much. And they're not just journaling. I always hated it when I was spending my holidays like in my tech consulting job that I really didn't like, trying to find new career options. And I'd just be like, I guess I'll read a new book on, I don't know, Your Best Year Yet, or like How to Find Your Calling. And it was, some of it was helpful, but some of it was just like journal and pray more. And that always drives me nuts because I assume you're already doing that and you're still like, yeah, but like, what's that job called? So here are more practical things you could do. The first exercise that I am so excited to recommend to you, because it's really fun and it gets you in the right headspace and it's also practically helpful, is write down your whole lineup of dream jobs that you've had throughout your life. All, and it doesn't have to be dream jobs. I'll more openly say, write out all the career ideas that you've considered. It could be anything from practical to fanciful, really anything. You could write it down from, I wanted to be a orca trader at SeaWorld, I guess before the movie Blackfish came out, to I wanted to be an accountant, or I wanted to be a nurse because I saw one of my parents do that, or I wanted to be a lawyer because it seems like that's what you should do if you want to be, quote, successful. So write down really anything. And the purpose of this is after you write down, and I recommend kind of making a two column Google Doc, or you could just write it this way in your journal. On the left side, you write out all your career ideas. In the middle column, you write out the age that you considered it. And you can say like, anything like 21 years old to current, if it's still a current consideration for you. And then on the rightmost column, the third one, write down what appealed to you about that job? What appealed to you about that job? This is going to become extremely important to receive the secondary benefit of this exercise. The first one is the first benefit to receive from this exercise is it gets you in the space of just acknowledging, like from the beginning when you had that more childlike aspiration or wonder, sense of wonder in your career, get in that energy and then also honor and acknowledge all the ideas that you've had throughout your life. And you can even honor and acknowledge the honest reasons, like I only considered this because my parents told me it'd be smart. And just say it like, wow, yeah, that's a part of my history in the way my brain was working and thinking about my career. And then at the bottom of this exercise, write out what themes you noticed in what drew you to each of these career paths. And then secondly, write out what are you considering now? Like, what do you want to consider now? Some of those are going to be in the career dream career lineup, the ones that you just simply put, you know, age I started considering this to current. And then some you're going to say after you considered your motivation and what drew you to each career path. And once you notice the themes, you might say, you know what, I'm willing to say XYZ new idea is something that really excites me. And I'm not going to back down for that right on that right now, especially when I'm just in the ideation phase. There is no use and cutting your ideas off at the knees. That's a very poor creative process. You want to have proper design thinking when designing your life in a faithful manner. So, side note, I highly recommend you read the book. And I'm not throwing shade on books in general. I just didn't find too many that were like all that enlightening when I was going through my career design journey in my career pivot. And I guess that was 20. At the beginning of 2017, 18. One book that I highly recommend, my point is, for you to read is Designing Your Life by Dave Evans and, forgive me, I forget his co-author, but I remember Dave Evans specifically because he was on Jordan Rayner's podcast, Mere Christians, and that was one of the best interviews I have ever heard. And I would not even recommend, I would almost like insist that any Christian listen to Dave Evans and Jordan Rayner's podcast together because he's a Christian, which was so cool because I read that book years ago and I didn't know he was a Christian. And he actually says using proper design principles to just make logical decisions for your life is 100%, like he teaches at a seminary theology of decision making and calling like vocational discernment classes, and it's 100% biblical. And I just love his perspective that it's not just like praying and waiting for an answer. If you read the Bible, that's really not the main theme that you get from how to make life decisions when you're reading the Bible through that lens and seeking answers of what does God say and what is the definition of faithful decision making in my life. It's proactive. It's largely, I like how Oz Guinness, who wrote the book The Call, he says, discernment of calling is actually quite entrepreneurial. I recommend that you look up Oz Guinness Discernment of Calling on YouTube. He has some really great videos about that. And so anyway, have an open, like when you're in the beginning of using design principles to design your life, it's very important to not cut down ideas, but rather stay in just an open exploratory brainstormy phase. So that's why I want you to take that first step. But now it's time to move on into the second step that I recommend on how to effectively explore new career options over the holidays. And that is after you write out what's appealing to you about that job, you are now at the section of the exercise where you have written out, here are the jobs that I am currently wondering about and kind of considering. It could be various levels of seriousness. You could have an off the wall, like, I just really want to see if I could make a career out of that option. So it could be various levels of seriousness, but these are the ones that you want to consider. Now that you have that list, next to each of those options, I want you to write again what is appealing to you about that job. But then here's the new thing. What are you concerned about? Any concerns or like curiosities of like, maybe it wouldn't work because, or maybe I wouldn't like it because. I want you to be extremely honest about that. What is every single concern or doubt that it would be possible that you have about each of those career options? And then I want you to write out each of those concerns, the positive assumptions and the negative assumptions into questions, because the next thing that you're going to do is informational interviews. This is your absolutely essential market research. This is really one huge pillar of Audrey and I's career coaching practice, is that it is insane to us in today's culture that people will spend 5 years dating someone to see if they want to marry them, and yet they will just go, oh, you know, I think I've heard some cool things about being in marketing. I think I'm just, yeah, I'll major in that, and I'll spend 4 years and like $100,000 on that and set myself up for potentially a lifelong career trajectory marrying this career idea, when you have not taken it on dates and asked about their credit score and about their whole history and all the skeletons in the closet. You gotta do that. Don't just marry your first career idea, and don't just think about it. You need to test it. And the way to test it is not to just think and pray about it more. It's also not just to Google about it more. It's also not just to read a bunch of job descriptions. It is to speak with a variety. You want a legitimate sample size of professionals who are actually living, working in that field. And you want to do this for three huge reasons. One, you want to see, are all of my positive assumptions about my job ideas really correct? Second, are my concerns real? Like, is it true that I can't actually like get into this if I don't have that degree? Or is it really true that there's so few jobs and like people like me aren't going to get them? Is it really true that that actually you have to work crazy hours? Things like that. You want to test, are your positive assumptions really correct? And are your concerns really valid? And is there actually, if not, like, or if so, if they are valid concerns, how can they be avoided? You don't just want to let somebody convince you that it's not possible. You want to test that even further. And you want to say, okay, if that is a valid concern, like if it is really hard for people with a non-traditional background to get into this field, like who do you know who has actually done it? And how can I do the same thing? Like, how can I avoid this concern or be the exception to the rule? Or the third reason that I really recommend you do these informational interviews, and the third benefit that I want you to receive from them, is if this is truly not a good idea for me, what other career paths should I consider instead? Crowdsource your best career ideas. Don't just leave that up to yourself or Google. People are infinite wealths of knowledge. They have been exposed to pockets of the population and ideas that you never have before. Every single person is a deep pool of information that is also more randomized than it, you're not. Here's another reason that like Google or just looking, scrolling endlessly, like the death spiral on LinkedIn, is not going to likely come up with your best career ideas, is search engines are only going to pull up what you know to type in. When in reality, the best career idea ever for you might be outside of your current field of awareness, but the way to get into that field of awareness is by describing the vague details, like almost playing like verbal charades with people. Like, here's what I want Here's what I don't want. Here's the exact tasks that I would really love to spend my day doing. Here's the settings that I know I thrive best in. Here's the kind of people I want to be serving. Any other details that, and you don't have to talk much about your background. Just talk about your future that you want, because you don't want to allow people to have biases against you or limit their career ideas that they give you. So just talk about the future you want and then ask them, like, are there any, what career paths do you know of that sound even vaguely like a match for that? Or if they, if you get off of one of these phone calls and at the end you're like, actually, I think being a, in like film production actually is not for me. Like, don't just say, okay, thanks, bye. Wow, that was a waste of time. No, never. Make every single one of these jobs or every single one of these conversations work for you. Always lead, create an opportunity from every single conversation. And you do that by asking them for a better idea and being honest and saying, okay, thank you so much. Like, this conversation has been so helpful for me. Here's what I learned, if anything, I liked about what you described about XYZ profession. But honestly, when you talked about this and this and this aspect of the field, I realized I'm actually looking for this instead. Like, describe honestly what you would like instead as a reality for your career. What other job opportunities or niches, titles, fields do you think would be a better fit for that? And bite your tongue. Don't let them off the hook. Like, make them come up with an idea. Sit there for a whole minute, which is actually a pretty long time, in silence if you need to. And then if they're like, I don't know, I'm gonna have to think about that more. You could just say, oh, no worries. Like, honestly, it doesn't have to be like a perfect idea, but like, if they're like, who do you know that would, that even likes their job, that's kind of in this, like, describe something more vague about the like general industry that you want to be a part of. Ask them for anything, like really make them become resourceful and give you, like, lower the bar for them. Say like, oh, it doesn't even have to be a good idea. I just want like any new awareness of different niches and ways to be in this field that maybe don't include blah, you know, the thing that you don't like. Or, you know, what other path I should consider instead. And that is what will always get you more opportunity. And then if they do give you an idea, you say, oh my gosh, so exciting, amazing. Who do you know that does that? Oh, cool. Okay. If it's all right, like, can I reach out to them on LinkedIn and say that we talked? Or is there a better way that I can connect with them? And then maybe they'll offer to connect you, which is really cool. And then just affirm again, like, wow, this was so helpful. Seriously, I've been Googling for a long time and this got way more done in terms of educating me on career options than that ever did. So thank you. If you're interested at all, I'll just give you an update in the next couple of weeks or months. And just if you're ever curious how it all turned out for me, I'll let you know. And they'll say, oh yeah, awesome. And when you give them that update in a few weeks or months, even if it's, I'm still looking, but here's like my new leads, that is where I've seen clients get their informational interview contacts saying, oh, actually, I thought of a new idea for you. Or, oh, you know, my cousin's company is hiring right now and maybe they want a kickback on the referral, which 70% of companies in the US have a referral program. So that means that the person you reach out to for informational interviews or anyone you reach out to at a company that you want to apply to, if you list them as the person who referred you to the position and you actually get it, they could get between several hundred and several thousands, like maybe many thousands of dollars, as a referral bonus. And so that's why people, one of the many reasons beyond just like a lot of humans are nice and they only got in that really cool job because they did this themselves, and they want to give back. Those are some of the reasons why, you will definitely get my experience of testing this thousands of times myself and the hundreds of clients that we've worked with, is you should assume about a 10 to 25% response rate for any kind of outreach. It could be text, email, LinkedIn, but especially LinkedIn. And that could be first, second, or third degree connections. Like third degree being people you don't know at all, second degree meaning you have a mutual connection, first degree meaning you're connected to them personally on LinkedIn. Either way, I like to just throw out and tell you, you should assume a 10 to 25% response rate for just saying, like, hey, I'm considering the, basically insert their job title as my next career move. But before I do, I have a couple questions about the profession. Would you be open to a 15-minute phone call in the next day or two? Because remember, like, if they are commuting, they likely can call you just on the way home. You don't want to allow them to overcomplicate the time required to just give you a little bit of advice. Or if not, like, can I send you a couple of questions over message? Either way, anything helps. Thank you so much. And that is going to get, usually I like to say 10 to 25 just to, in case it's low, for you to not give up. Because again, if you reach out to 10 people and you get one, you just got one amazing new career contact that could change your life. And that is not a problem that people are busy or don't check the LinkedIn. It's not personal. Let me say again, it's not personal. And you are winning the game by doing this outreach. And so anyway, all of these things are what you could do to be extremely effective in exploring your new career options, whether that's now over the holidays, if you're listening to it when it's this episode is released, or at any point in the future. At any point in the future, this is what's going to drill down your list to a single confident option for what you are really feeling designed and called to do with your career. Or before you drill down that list, it might add some new ideas to the list that really should be there. And this is what is going to give you the awareness and exposure into better career options, and then ultimately drill down your list to that single confident decision instead of just staying in, I don't know, land, or I'm just thinking about it. I don't really have any movement. To me, there is no excuse for staying confused. That is a choice, to sound blunt. But I've been doing this for years and counseled many clients and friends through the process. And this is the standard I hold myself to as well. Staying confused is a choice. Sometimes you just need to like process your emotions, and that's fine. And it's not always the time for a change. And maybe you haven't learned everything you need to learn or gotten all the self-awareness out of your current situation yet that you need. So sometimes a little time is needed, but mostly you need to be writing down, okay, here's what I don't like about my current situation. Here's what I do like. Here's what I want instead. How can I get that? What are my ideas for getting that? What can I do to start working toward that? What questions do I need answered to see if that's actually a good idea? And who can I ask to give me better ideas if I need them? Boom, boom, boom. Get in front of people. Ask that to like 30 different people and you should have a better answer. And then you have freedom in Christ to move forward with that. This is being the two faithful servants in the parable of the talents, who said they got no specific instructions, but they multiplied their master's wealth and stewarded it well while he was gone, showing security in their relationship with themselves and their master, knowing it's only going to be a net positive if I get out there and try my best to make some more of what I have. And then the third servant said, no, I'm really scared of things going wrong, so I'm not going to do anything at all, and I'm going to bury the wealth in the ground and say, look, I didn't lose it. Do not treat your life that way. Get out there, do these exercises. Always turn your doubts or fears into a question and ask that of a professional who is actually in the field or in the position or life experience that can answer that, and then decide what to do with it, and know that the Lord is the God of Genesis chapter 12, when he gave Abraham, that was the first mention of the Abrahamic covenant, of him saying, go out to the, away from your family to the land I will show you. Now go, I will be with you. Like, that's kind of mixing in Joshua 1:9. Like, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. No, the Lord is God, your God is with you wherever you go. And that's true. That's our promise. How awesome. And the thing is about Genesis chapter 12 is that, did you hear in that verse God saying the name of the land he was going to? No, he said, I will show you on the way. And I don't know if that was like obvious to Abraham. I think he just had to walk and trust that, like it says in Proverbs chapter 16, in verses 1 and verse 9, it says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord that establishes their steps. By the way, it's not saying that, and in verse 1, it says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord that will even give you the proper answer of the tongue, which is just amazing to me. How gracious of him. And that's also what it, I bring up these same verses all the time, because they just have rocked my life all the, like, so much. But like, this even brings up for me what God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. In their dialogue at the burning bush, he said, who is it that gives human beings their mouths? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will teach you what to say. He had to show up in front of Pharaoh and just literally trust that the Lord would speak for him. And it's the same thing in Matthew chapter 10, I think, where Jesus is commissioning the apostles, and he says, you will go out like lambs among wolves. Be as shrewd as snakes, but as innocent as doves, which is my favorite thing, like, in business, like, be a like, in my career, in my life, in my spiritual discernment, be as shrewd as a snake, but as innocent as a dove. I love that. Like, God is such a baddie, honestly. I love it. But Jesus, he said, and you will be arrested for my sake. And it's like, things are going to go wrong kind of either way. If you are, like, things will only go wrong in a major, major, major way if you're the parable, the unfaithful servant in the parable of the talents, and do nothing. God will say, you wicked and lazy servant, you basically did nothing. You didn't trust me at all, because you were trusted with little and you did little with it. What the little you have will be given to someone who will do more with it. I'm paraphrasing. Please read Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and onward for the exact wording of that parable. But I think the worst thing you could do is nothing. The best thing you could do is just accept uncertainty in how exactly your life will pan out, while holding on to the certainty that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, and he is establishing your steps mysteriously. Mysteriously. I think that's the trick for modern Western evangelical Christians, is like, somehow culturally we've been like, no, I need certainty from God. I need a word from God. When in reality, like, if you like really break down the theology, which, again, please listen to my episode that's going to come out with Jordan Rayner on his new book, The Sacredness of Secular Work, when it comes out January 30th, because I have to wait until the launch week of that book. But he breaks down why God really might not, that, like, the point of your life is not to be in job A versus job B. The point of your life is who you're becoming, and becoming more like Christ while deeply enjoying, because only you, not through like just effort, but only because you are so enamored and in love and in knowledge of the Lord. The beginning of all wisdom is it fear of the Lord? I think that's in Proverbs. Double check me on that. Fear of the Lord is really it's not terror. It is appreciation of him and being like, wow, you can almost translate it as awe. And if you are in awe of the Lord and his grandeur, you will realize how you are the most secure person on the planet among all other people who trust him. We are the most secure people on the planet. And so we could also do the craziest things. Oh my gosh. I think I repeat myself all the time because I'm still just like so in awe of the fact that all of what I just said is true because of what I've, it's in the Bible. I'm not saying I'm enamored with my own knowledge. I'm saying I'm enamored with the fact that God has offered all of these truths to all of us, which are the most comforting, the most encouraging. It is the gospel, the good news, which the gospel is multifaceted. It's not just that we are sinful creatures fallen in need of a hope and a savior, and that Jesus died, atoned for our sins, and also that we simply believe in him, then we can rise with him as he died. And if we die with him, we can be resurrected with him. And then after that, the gospel doesn't stop, so that we can enjoy him forever and enjoy the rhythms that he created in this life he designed for us, which includes work, rest, community, relationships, all of this, family building. We get to go back to our first calling, which is to rule and subdue the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. That doesn't just mean in a familial sense, but in any sense of the word, be fruitful and multiply. When you know who you are and you are living in the beauty of the gospel, you get to be someone who creates, cultivates, and sees the potential of God, heaven, letting it be on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray in the gospel accounts. And anyway, how cool is all of that? That like, one, the gospel doesn't stop. It bears fruit. It's not just about like, oh, Jesus died for my sins. It's like a gospel changed person goes forth in security, knowing that it is the Lord your God that even in your weaknesses, you can, it's not the charge to go forth and like, just, you know, there's tension in the Bible because Jesus did say, be perfect as I am perfect. But then the Apostle Paul, also knowing Jesus, he said in 2 Corinthians 7, I don't know, the famous verse about, I can actually boast in my weaknesses. The Lord is not necessarily wanting to take all of our weaknesses away. Weakness is a part of this part of life before eternity, or before heaven in the next life. We will always have weaknesses, and that's not really a problem, because he says, when I am weak, the Lord's power is made evident, and it's made more perfect in front of people because what he does through imperfect lives, because it is his strength that is glorified and not mine, because any strength I have is a mirage and it only comes from the Lord. And so therefore, all the more I can boast in my weaknesses, because when I am weak, he is strong. It actually says, when I am weak, then I am strong, which I think it's kind of funny. I often kind of switch that up. But anyway, so how cool, God. You are just so awesome. I pray that you help each person listening to go forth and co-create their career with you in faith, knowing, like in the spirit of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, you say, go and invest in 7 ships. No, 8, for you do not know which ones will make it back to shore. Do not let your hands be idle, because those who reap will sow. And you do not know the mystery of how a human is formed in its mother's womb. And you also don't know what will go right, what will go wrong, or what will do equally well. So just get out there. Lord, I pray that you encourage people to read the real version, not the paraphrase version of Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6. And just see that you are a God that says, trust me, be a child that has a very secure attachment style with their parent and knows that the parent isn't going to flip on them for like wearing something creative. We could get out there and you are leading us wherever we go. I love you, God. Please reveal the truth. Help us, help this person and all of us realize all the things that we need to realize. I love that you do that, God, because wisdom really just comes from you. So, and I know that it's a mystery that we can't even know you. Like in John chapter 6, Kirsten and I were talking about it this morning. You say like only those that the Father gives to the Son like can come to know the Lord, essentially. Please, again, read the Bible. Don't just take my paraphrase. But, and so we actually do need you to open our hearts and open our minds and help us have wisdom and realize the truth so that we could walk in it and be free and live life to the full. I love you, God. Please work in our hearts. Amen. All right. Guys, go be victorious. Hope you have a super restful week if you're listening to this over the holiday week. I will talk to you soon, next week. Bye.